we take any human being who makes effort in the dunya, then after he makes effort, some type of result concludes and comes about. So in reality, due to that effort, keeping that effort in mind, in other words, the conclusion, the result of that effort, and due to that result, a person then tries. So for example, if you understand it this way, that somebody applies and enrolls to a university, and all of his effort will be that after this, I can get a degree, I can attain a degree. And if he gets the degree at the end of it, then he's been successful on the effort he made. If he doesn't get the degree, then he's failed in his efforts. But the meaning of the effort was that he wanted to get a degree at the end. If a person applies and studies in a Darul Uloom, a place of knowledge, then what does he try, the student for which he's studying and he's reading and revising and looking at the books and the kitabs, that I want to get a degree in ilm, knowledge, I want to be a scholar, an alim, theology. Theology, if a student starts to do hifth, memorize the Quran, after making effort, working hard, he thinks that what am I going to attain at the end of this? I'm going to become a hafidh. So in other words, if you see that making effort, working hard, definitely has a result. There's a result at the end of it, if you make effort. In the same way, when a person does tazkiyah, purification, improvement, when he does tazkiyah, when he travels on the path of suluk, then after that, what is the result after he makes effort? Is that he becomes a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. Yes, this is straightforward, isn't it? If somebody asks you, why did you go to university? Yes, I went to university because I want to get an MSc degree, a master in science, or a PhD. Okay, fine. So he works hard. And even if he doesn't get success at the end of it, same way, for everything, when you enroll or apply for something, when you enter into that process, then obviously you have an objective when you enroll onto a process. So in the same way, those people who follow the path of suluk, to do tazkiyah, to improve themselves, and the student works hard and makes effort, then obviously you want the result. And what will that result be? That person becomes a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, connected to Allah. So in this dunya, in this world, if you want to learn any knowledge, you'll go to university or college or technical college or medical college or institute, isn't it? If you go to learn ilm, Islamic knowledge, you call it Darul Uloom or Fiqh or jurisprudence, etc. So when a student starts to learn tazkiyah, purification, the name of that institute, what is that name of that institute? It is the process of tazkiyah, tafsir and tasawwuf, islah, in other words, improvement, reformation of the student. So I think that you've got imamas on your head, so obviously you have left your homes to do this, you have no other objective. Why have you changed your faces, appearances, your libas, your dress code? You're trying to make an effort that if we do this, if we practice this way, then maybe we'll get this degree. If I do this action, then I'll get this degree at the end of it, isn't it? This is the reason. That's right. So we also want to be walis of Allah, all of us. Because Allah says, every one of you should be my friend. My friend. And there are different levels of Allah Ta'ala's friends. Different levels. Yes, Allah says that there are different levels. If you want to see that somebody is a person who's a wali Allah, someone, for example, maybe somebody just shakes your hands, or maybe somebody just verbally says he's your friend, but another person will embrace you, so you know he's more of a friend. So it's up to you how strong a friend of Allah you want to be. But this is the path of Allah's friendship. What do you call it? The path to Allah's friendship. Alhamdulillah. It's a great path in life to adopt. Yes? And it's a path that's deserved of reward. So Allah Ta'ala has put these thoughts into our minds, so we seek that path to get close to Allah. A person tries to practice to get close to Allah. And he makes effort. So Allah has said in the Quran in a verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Allah says, Fi'atun fasbatu wa dhukrullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. And this is a very nice verse that I've just remembered at this moment in time.
that Allah Ta'ala, in regards to this effort to get close to Him, Allah said, O people of Iman, O you who have faith. So this subject is not for the non-believers, those who don't believe, for the munafiqeen, it's not for the hypocrites, it's not for the fasiqeen, it's for who? This verse is for those who believe in Allah, who believe in Allah, who have faith. In other words, whatever He says, He does. That is a believer. This subject, this verse is for those people. إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ Allah says. إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِئَةً Allah Ta'ala here speaks about a struggle. A struggle. A clash. إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ Two meanings come out of this. One is a small clash and one is a bigger clash. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he defined this, he explained this verse. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us what is the small clash fight and the big fight. Then the Sahaba Ikram, they were coming back from a big battle. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are returning from a small battle. You will have to confront a bigger battle, a bigger clash than this. In other words, if you look, they were hungry, thirsty, there was heat, and whatever you want to call it, poverty, they had no resources. And the Sahaba were amazed that what's the bigger clash we're going to? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be ready for the bigger battle. And they didn't have any weapons at that time, they had no resources, but they were, mashallah, a great group of people. The Sahaba, that full yaqeen and faith that we want to become Allah's friends. We want to get close to Allah. I said, please order us, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we are ready, we're prepared. But this sounds a bit weird that we've just come from a big battle. So what is there left for us to do, to achieve? So Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that this battle that you've just returned from, this battle is the asghar. The minor clash, the minor for the akbar, the higher battle is the enemy that's inside you. You have to fight that, the invisible enemy that's inside you. You have to keep fighting the enemy. So when you fight with this enemy that's inside you, yes, then you are fighting for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah. Yeah? And when you fight that force that's within you, and then you are fighting to attain Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness. So if there's a physical clash or battle, it's for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah's deen. The fight within, the clash within, is to get close to Allah. And why is this clash bigger, this battle? Because many times over you attain shahada, martyrdom. Not just once, many times over you have to keep battling with yourself, with the force within. There's a beautiful poem somebody wrote. It's just coming in my mind, I think, if I can. It's in Persian, Farsi. So this poem, Hazrat Bakhtiar Kaki, rahmatullahi alayhi, who is a Chishti order, great wali Allah in the history of Islam. And he was from one of the greatest khalifas of Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, and his mazar, his place of rest is in Delhi, in India. That's where he lived his life. That's where his place where he was buried after he died. He was a Qutb of Delhi, he was. So, and in his company, there was a Sama. There used to be a gathering. And we see nowadays wrong actions where people do sama, where people get together and there's singing and there's musical instruments. This is wrong. This is incorrect. But this was the gathering in his time where they would do remembrance of Allah to have a good effect. And for example, if somebody says a good poem, a good verse, a good with meaning, then that can shake a person to the core. So a good person, a pious person who recites poetry and the meaning of that poetry is really good, then that can improve the deen of that person. So for that, a person should be pure and clean and pious, that the meaning of that poem, he understands that and imprints onto him inside, on which maqam he's listening. So, normally nowadays we have singing, musical instruments, and people come into a hall, someone hears a song or musical instruments or a woman, and people start rejoicing and swaying and moving their hands and their legs. This is shaitani effects, because inside there's dirt and impurity. And so he's making that dirt apparent. But sama, Islamic poetry, is that something that makes you clean and pure inside and understand the impact of the verse. When he hears that, the meaning of the poem, then he understands that, and that physically he makes that apparent in his life. He implements that and practices that. So the meaning of this verse is such a great meaning of this poetry, where it's written in Persian. And the writer said, Hazrat Bakhtiar Kaki rahmatullah, he wrote this, and mashallah, he was immersed in the remembrance of Allah. And there was a singer nearby who was doing like qawwali, and he said this line, you could say, in his song. So what does it mean by line or verse? Because mashallah, this is a gathering of tasawwuf, so you'll understand, enjoy that. What he said was that when, for the sake of Allah's pleasure, for the sake of Allah's pleasure, when I give my life, he says, my life isn't once. I'm not once like a lion. He said, rather, every moment my shahadat continues to take place. Every moment, every so often my shahada continues to take place. He says, always I'm giving my life, because every action that I do for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, that I'm crushing my desires, I'm fighting my desires. And to beat the desires is a big martyrdom, that it's many times over greater shahada martyrdom than physically. For example, one person becomes a shaheed, he comes under a sword and he passes away. He is shaheed for sure. And he's departed and he gets the reward. But I crush my desires, then I'm alive again. Then I crush my desires, then I'm still alive again. Then I crush my desires again. So you continue to fight with your desires. Yes, that was, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to eat haram. I'm not going to earn or consume haram. I'm not going to do haram actions. Allah is unhappy. So that's the meaning of a person who keeps on crushing his desires. For example, at that time, even in those, for example, you might have salah, you may recite Quran, you may do dhikr, but where do people fail? Yes, you have to fight your desires. The nafs says, eat haram. Go towards haram. You can't succeed in the world. That you can't succeed and become prosperous without haram. So this is the fight and the battle that's happening inside each and every one of us sitting here. It's a clash. The desires say to you, look at this woman, look at this girl, look at the screen on your mobile phone, look at this immodesty. You've done all good actions, you come from the masjid, you go home, you've done pious actions, but in every generation there's the battle with the desires. So for the sake of Allah, you start fighting with your desires. So which dagger or which weapon will be useful here? That your nafs, either you overcome your nafs and you kill your nafs and you crush it into this, or you spoil your deeds, your zakat, your salah, your fasting, everything. Either you throw the water over that and you give up in front of your nafs, or you oppose your desires. So the things that Allah Ta'ala has said are prohibited, that is a big order from Allah. So a person, he breaks his desires. For example, if he follows his desires, then he's breaking Allah's orders, he's breaking the love of Allah, and he jumps into the haram. All his salah and his faraid action, the night worship, everything evaporates in the thin air, because he's done one unlawful action. One unlawful action. So who's that? The person who does rad, he rejects Allah's laws and he goes to Jahannam. But the other person, he says, Subhanallah. He picks up the dagger. Which dagger? Of the pleasure of Allah. He takes the dagger of the pleasure of Allah. He says, no, I want to please Allah in my life. Yes, I'm just giving the meaning of this poem that the writer wrote in Persian. He says, okay, I'll take the dagger. He takes the tool and then he kills off the nafs. He says, I'll die hungry, but I won't eat haram. Yes, I will crush my desires, but I won't look at this woman. I won't look at this nakedness. I will not do sin. I will not listen to music. Doesn't matter how much it sounds nice and melodious to me. My Lord Allah has prohibited this. Every action that is prohibited, I will give it up. So with that dagger of the pleasure of Allah, when he gets the pain and it's hard for him to follow the deen, because it's not easy to please Allah, because you are crushing your own desires. You're crushing your own desires to please Allah. It's not that deen, oh, pray salah and do haram, go to hajj and do haram and Allah will forgive you. This is not that deen we're talking about. Every time and moment and every hour of your life, Allah's order comes, halal and haram. Lawful and lawful. Every second of our life, and every second of our life, we have to crush our desires and become shaheed. He says, no, for the sake of Allah, when you do any action, then how many times your rank and maqam goes high? One action, if you leave for the sake of Allah, a wrong, if you leave a sin for the sake of Allah, then your iman reaches to the heights of the skies. And I've told you this before, that there was a woman, and she was in a very distressful state, and she needed money, she needed wealth. And there was a man who was a Washi Chaudhary Sahib. He was a wealthy man in his village, in his town. He had wealth. She said, okay, I'll go to this man. He gives money to people, charity. So she was poor. She was destitute. She said, Chaudhary Sahib, I need money. I've got young children. They've not eaten for 3 days. And please give us some money. I've put the pot on our stove. But I say to my children, the food is cooking, the food comes. There's nothing in the vessel. Please do us a favor. Give some money. I'm asking for a loan. When I get the money, I'll pay it back to you. So she was a beautiful woman. She had beauty, attraction. The man thought, oh, good chance here. And I'll trap her. And he had an attraction to her. Because when you look at a woman with that evil eye, then if you look with the evil eye, then your heart will take you to that. Shaitan's arrow, always he fires out. Because shaitan and nafs, your desire, is always fighting with you and taking you towards the wrong. This fight with the nafs and shaitan is always there. So the big battle, the sahaba, that battle finished. But this battle with the desires will never end. The result of this, success and failure, will be made apparent in the hereafter after a person dies. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So, he said, okay, I'll give you money. The man said to the woman, but there's a condition. She said, what? That please, you fulfill my desires, he said to her. She said, I can't do this. She said, I can't do this. Then she went back. She saw the children were desperate. Children were crying of hunger. They were screaming, mother. But the mother, she's forced to act. So she came back crying. She said, okay, she said to the man. Okay, you give me money, I'll fulfill your desire. He said, okay. So then he took her along with him. And when he was ready to do the act of zina, adultery, then she cried again, the poor woman. And she cried. And that man, he was totally in position to do his haram, nakedness, everything. Then she called out to Allah in her heart, Allah, I'm not a woman like this. You put me into a big test, Allah, big challenge. I mean hardship. And he said, why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said to her at that time, that I haven't done zulm on you, oppression. We made a contract, agreement. You said give the money, and I said you fulfilled this desire, and you accepted that. Why are you crying now? She said, you're totally right what you're saying. Due to which reason, but I'm just speaking to my Rabb, my Allah, that I'm a pious and righteous, I'm clean. Why is this happening to me? That's it. She said that suddenly that touched his heart. He was a criminal. This was his life, playing with the women. Look at that man, what he was before. Yes? Then here, he took the dagger of the pleasure of Allah. He took out that tool from inside him. And he accepted that message from Allah at that time. Just like I said before, the examples I give you. And he crushed his desires. He killed his desires. Imagine from what position he was in at that time. And he turned back. And suddenly he stood up. He said, please ask you for forgiveness, O woman. I'm very sorry for this ordeal that I was putting you through. And I was trying to take advantage of your destitution. Take this money, I'll give you more money than this. And whenever you have any need from today, my treasure chest is open, you can come and take the money. And now you can go with this money. And she got up, she was amazed that this man, amazing, Allahu Akbar, Allah has listened. So by chance, the reality, the next day he passed away, that man. He died the next day. The same woman saw him in the dream that he is in the garden of paradise. She said to him, how did you come into paradise? Yeah, that you are criminal, sinful. He said, you are the one who enabled me to come into paradise. Subhanallah. The man replied, that you put me in that challenge and I crushed my desires. And that martyrdom of the desires, Allah has given me the high maqam after death. So this is the meaning of that verse, that poem. That every second a human being can crush his desires, be shaheed. That with the dagger of Allah's pleasure, a person can keep on crushing his desires. And the wound of this is very intense. A person can do 10 hajj physically, but he is very hard for him to leave haram. And it's very hard to leave backbiting for us. It's very hard to make the heart soft. It's very hard to leave the unlawful things. There are thousands of things in the dunya that force us to do wrong. That's why I stated in this verse, this beautiful poem, that when you take the dagger of Allah's pleasure, crush your desires, become shaheed, and get the rewards of a shaheed. So this, how many times does a person become a shaheed in 24 hours? That if this is the reward for one shaheed, then what will be the reward for the shaheed who is many times over during the day he crushes his desires? How many times? What will be his reward? So we are on the right path, alhamdulillah. We are on the track, but you need to bring your course and steering into alignment. Yes, for example, you've enrolled into the university and you're studying science. So which degree will you get? Physics? You'll get a physics degree, innit? A science degree. If you make the effort. Yes, so you will get the degree for that, what you are preparing for. So brothers, what we are preparing for, this path to the Allah's nearness and Allah's wilayat. Are you studying that course properly? The first step in this course, the first subject, say subhanallah, is what we are discussing. The first step, the first subject in this course is this, that you have to become shaheed. And when he read this verse as a Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullah, imagine his response, that when he heard that sama, when he heard that verse, what was his style? They didn't just dance in those days and listen to music and singings or qawwali. Oh, tell me that again. Oh, tell me that line again. Oh, I enjoy listening to that music. Oh, play that verse again. But their listening was a great listening. That is going, it's haram to go to such a gathering where there's music and rejoicing and unlawful. And then they're naming the Holy Prophet, and they're naming Allah, and they're doing actions in opposition. Haram, kullun haram. And they say that this is sama, oh, these people in the history did this. This chishti order, sama is jais. But which sama will people listen to? After listening, a person passes away until today, show me. Yes, when he read this verse, great verse, as soon as he read that, and he said, please read this again, please read it again. He said, please read it again. The third time, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He became shaheed. Such intense was that. As a Bakhtiyar Kaki, what, you know how great a sheikh he was in the Chishti order, that he wrote this event. He wrote this event. So in Delhi is his place of burial. That's why he's called a Qutb, because of the way he lived his life of piety. So Allah Ta'ala elevated him with his name. So this is the shaheed, the real shaheed. So brothers, to become, we should also become shaheed on a daily basis if we want to be the wali Allah, the friend of Allah. Practice on this path. The path we are on. We're on the path. But read the kitabs about this path. Read the sabak, the lesson. Allah Ta'ala, that verse that I wrote, that I recited. إِذَا لَقَيْتُمْ فِئَةً. Allah is telling us in the Quran. So with regards to this battle, Allah is speaking, this clash, that to win this battle, this clash, this fight, what do you need to do? Two things Allah has mentioned. فَسْبَتُوا. That be very strong, don't shake and wilt and go left and right. What do you need to do? You need to be firm. Yes, don't be like a weak leaf, left and right, you're swaying left and right, you will not get nothing. If you compromise, Allah says, once you've left the old ways, you've left the old ways. Don't turn back and look back to the old ways. A person who for the sake of Allah, if you've left something wrong for the sake of Allah, don't even remember it in your mind. It's come out of my registry, out of my memory, that wrong action, because it was restricting me between me and Allah. So that's the first step, first button. That how does a person give up for the sake of Allah? Allah is asking. How much? This is the test. This is the challenge in the life of a human being. After this, you'll get the degree, graduation. You'll become a wali Allah. That's when you'll get the degree as the friend of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So Allah says, be firm, be strong. Do not turn back. Don't take a U-turn. Don't look back at the old ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to you being firm and strong, Allah is telling us himself in the Quran, to be strong, that what will make it easy for you to be firm in your practice, strong in your practice, the best weapon and resource for you to fight your desires, to kill the two enemies of yours, shaitan and nafs, which will try to overwhelm you and win over you. You'll leave the sin, they'll make you go back to it. You'll leave the sin, then they'll try to force you go back to it. You'll leave the sin, then they'll force you. They say, no. Don't do this. Go back to the sins. They'll invite you back to the vice, to the evil. If you say today, no, from today I'm not going to eat haram, end of story. Millions of people have seen incur a loss in the world. They're promising from today they're not going to eat haram. And on the other side, Allah gives them the level of wilayat, friendship of Allah. How many salah have you prayed in your life? How many fasts have you kept? How many years of fasting? How many hajj has he done? How many tahajjud did he pray? How many Qurans did he recite? How many qari sahabs were made? How many ulema, scholars? But they've done nothing. They've done nothing. Fasbitu, but if you are firm and strong, that's it, I leave this haram, Allah, for your sake. That's it. I will not do this again, Allah. I will not take a U-turn. This is the contract to make, isn't it? Then he fulfills his promise to Allah, that individual. So Allah Ta'ala helps you. Allah says, I'll help you and assist you in this path. Yes, and alongside this in the verse, Allah says next, how he'll help us. Fi'atan, Allah says, إِذَا لَقِدُ فِيَتُمْ فَاسْبَتُوا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah says that to be firm and steadfast on the path of Deen Islam, you need help from Allah. Yes, either you are fighting with a small enemy, but here we're fighting with a big enemy, Shaitan and nafs. فَاسْبَتُوا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ. Allah says, this will help you on the path. Apart from this, no other weapon, no other effort, no other trying will assist you. Allah says, this will make you win the battle against nafs and shaitan. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, that, for example, that's why the shaykh takes the promise from you in the beginning when you become a student. That's why Allah says in Surah Mumtahna that the believing women will come to you, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will come to do tawbah, to do repentance. So a person who wants to repent, at the time of the Prophet, the believing women, they went to the Prophet and the Prophet took a promise from them that you will not eat haram, you will not do haram. Likewise, a teacher when he is a student says that today he will take the contract that don't backbite, don't consume haram, don't earn haram, don't do wrong actions. This is Quran that's advising us. So you have to take the promise of the believing women or the men. Then the sheikh, the teacher asks, okay, do you accept these conditions? Will you keep the beard? Yes, I will keep the beard. That from clean shaven, I will go to keeping the beard. Will you leave interest and riba? Yes, I will leave interest and riba. Will you do this sin? No, I won't do this sin. I will leave this sin. Will you do this good action? Yes, I will do this action. So when that person makes that contract with the sheikh, the teacher, when he leaves, he should never do that again in the life. This is called fasbatu. That to be steadfast on this, with this intention, when a student makes this contract, then he does dhikrullah, then the dhikrullah allows him to maintain his level and not go downhill. Yes, so you'll have experienced this, mashallah. There are many of you here who started your life on the deen as a student. You'll have experienced this. You left your shops, your homes, your status, high status, money, relatives. You left masjid. Yes, you change your whole direction. That, for example, your salah, which salah, masjid do you pray salah? And he said that my qibla has changed now. My direction of life has changed now. That in your masjid, the qibla wasn't right, but in this masjid, the qibla direction is totally correct. Yes, so that's where I'll go to pray my salah. In other words, you make the improvement to all parts of life. So you are such a imam that, for example, yes, that I say that my face, I'm praying salah, my face is towards the Kaaba, and I say Allahu Akbar, but the imam that I read behind, he doesn't just give me the niyyah, but he shows me the Kaaba as well. He shows me the Kaaba as well. Subhanallah. Am I wrong or am I right what I'm saying? So he enables you to see the Kaaba, and that's when the fear of Allah comes into that student. And he shows you that great place and the Rawda Mubarak in Madinatul Manawwara. That's why the love of the Sunnah comes to the person. Yes, and that person starts to do ziyarah of the Prophet ﷺ. He starts to wear imamah. He wears the attire of the Sunnah. He has his beard. And the sisters wear niqab. Not to show people I'm pious, I've got niqab, I wear hijab, and show people I'm doing parda, hijab. This was my picture before and this is my picture now. There are some sisters like this. They show off. They show pictures. I used to be like this before, sinful. I used to wear these clothes. But now this is my picture. I'm wearing hijab. All of your pictures, Allah Ta'ala has got the record of your pictures. Don't take, you take the pictures or not. Allah's got the pictures. They're all printed, all published. Allah Ta'ala knows everything about you. So don't be like this and show to the people what you are. So, fasbatu. Allah Ta'ala says, dhikrullah. My remembrance. Then kathir, Allah says. So this is what your sheikh, he also gives you the same advice, your teacher. That be steadfast, promise to leave the sins. Don't worry about poverty, hunger, hardship in the dunya. Ups and downs will come. Whoever practices then that whatever contract and promise you make to Allah, then you say that I'm ready, Allah, to struggle for the sake of the deen. This fight won't be every day. If you're 60 years old, then at least 300 times you'll be shaheed during your life when you have to make an effort and a struggle. That every attack of shaitan and nafs, if you overcome them, you will become shaheed. And you, if you want to get the level of shahada, martyrdom, then there's the other people physically when they're in the battle and they run away, then you know that person is wretched and cursed who does a U-turn and turns his face on the effort because he runs away from the fight, runs away from the battle, runs away from Allah's path. What will he get? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So in the path of suluk to get near to Allah, enter into that path. If you are traveling and you do a U-turn, then that person goes into a very bad situation. That student who takes a U-turn, then it's the same as if he's run away from the battle. He's turned his back and he runs away from the path of Allah, he'll get nothing. And the hashr of that person, that will be worse than that person who physically runs away from the field. Allah's Nabi says, that's why he did dua that, oh Allah, that Allah show us the right path, the straight path. And Allah, don't take us off that straight path once you give us the straight path. I don't want to be from those people who do a U-turn and they leave this path. There's big, big destinations come, my friends, in this path of tasawwuf and tazkiyah and purification. This is the path that will take a person to Allah. There are books that after you read the books, you will get the degree, Wali Allah degree, friend of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So every moment you can attain the level of shahada when there's an order, your nafs orders you to do wrong. If you shun that wrong, you become shaheed. Then the attraction of the nafs comes, your desires, do this haram. Doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't obey the order of your desires and you reject it, shaheed. You are shaheed. You are crushing this. Then comes again, shaitan comes with another weapon to take you off Islam. He gives you attraction and he opens up dastakha, nice man in front of you. You say, no, I'm not going to accept you, shaitan. You reject shaitan, you are shaheed again. So how many times your darajat, your rank and status increases? On every fight, your status increases. And the Quran is telling us this. Ya ayyu ladina amanu, idha laqitu. Is the Quran telling us this or not? Yes. That when you fight, then be steadfast. Don't take a U-turn. You know, one shahada that I'm going to give you, Allah says, in the fight against your nafs, you will get the shahada every moment, every moment. Every time you oppose your desires in shaitan, you'll get the shahada. That take the dagger of Allah's pleasure. So, what does a person get after this? What does he attain after this? What does he receive after this? Yes, what's the main objective of tazkiyah? Think about this. There's no ibadah, worship to do with this. Say subhanAllah. No physical ibadah that you have to do worship. Until today, no wali Allah became a friend of Allah due to his salah. Until today in the history of Islam, no friend of Allah became a wali due to reciting Quran or doing Umrah or by going on Hajj. Or no, never did they claim this, because this is such a path that until you die, you say, oh Allah, please accept me with your mercy. Allah, please accept me with mercy. All your trust and hope should be on what? Don't trust your deeds. That always hope and trust that Allah will accept you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how will you get wilayat if you think that it's your actions that will give you rewards? No. Yes. Never consider that your deeds are what will give you the success. So the answer to this is that you are not reading or practicing, you're not worshipping or practicing deen for this reason. You know, this reason, five times salah I'm praying, or I'm fasting in Ramadan, I'm talking about the fard here, compulsory. Or you're not doing these things to become friend of Allah. Anyone who's doing this to become pious or to show the people he's pious, you're not doing it for this reason. We're doing these actions because this is the order of Allah. Yes, if we don't do this, then we'll get the beats. We'll get the beats. Yeah, understand the point? So you don't become wali Allah or pious or righteous by doing the actions that Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Yes, this Jannah is different. This Jannah is different for the just the compulsory deeds. Have you heard this? That person wants piety. And what does shaitan deceive us? Oh, I've prayed salah. I'm not a wali Allah yet. Oh, I've prostrated so many times. I've done so many umrah. I don't feel like I'm a strong Muslim or I'm a wali Allah. Yeah, so how will I become strong and a friend of Allah? Shaitan makes us feel like this. So I'll tell you the point here. That no ever in the history has ever a person become a wali. That even the greatest kutub or the Nabi, the Prophet, that Allah says, He says, Allah is your rahmah and mercy that you will accept my deeds. It's not my practice and worship, because whoever you're prostrating to, whoever you're worshipping to, that who can dare that you can worship Allah to the standard He requires, the prostration that Allah wants from us. The worship that Allah wants from us. Can any one of us do that? No. Yes, who can fulfill the rights of Allah? Very difficult. Allah, nobody can even praise you. Allah says that my praise is just me who can praise me according to my right. Allah says that what I deserve. Yes, that no one in from the humans can praise Allah to the level that Allah deserves. None of us can. The whole dunya, if the oceans finish, the trees finish, you make the wood, the paper, and make ink from the oceans, and we start to praise Allah with the ink on the paper. Allah says, no one can praise Allah to that amount. It's only Allah who can praise Himself to the level that is just and that Allah deserves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So who can I say that I am worshipping and praying and I become a wali Allah? Cannot be so. So Allah Ta'ala says, Allah, how can I become your friend? And Allah says, I'll explain to you and define that the person who I give my walay to and friendship to, you haven't even started on that path, Ya Allah says. You haven't even started on that path. And you know, we say, Mawlana Sahib, Peer Sahib, Hazrat Sahib, that those people who say tazkiyah and tazkiyah, they make you do the chilla. Yeah, they're not doing tazkiyah. They're not purifying your nafs and your insides. They say, do this much tasbih, recite this and worship this and pray this. This isn't the course of tazkiyah. This doesn't bring about purification of the nafs. Say subhanAllah. So then, how do we attain this? Then you're on the wrong path. You're on the wrong course. Those people, so-called teachers, don't even know themselves. The person who doesn't have the broken and pure heart, then how will he teach his student the right path? This is my line now. This is my verse. That if he doesn't even know what is love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how will he put in your heart the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Subhanallah. This is a verse from one of my naats, nasheeds. The person himself doesn't know what is the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What peer is he? What sheikh is he? Then if he doesn't know himself, from what prostration do I get nearness to Allah? Which subject should I practice? Then how will he teach to his students? So how do we get Allah's nearness? How do we get Allah's love? Shall I explain to you? So you keep forgetting the sabak, the lesson, so I'll remind you. Allah Ta'ala, with regards to His love, His muhabbat, His qurb, His nearness, He's put another path to His nearness. So why do we do ibadah? We do ibadah due to Allah's order. That's why we do ibadah. Not to become close to Allah or to become friends of Allah. Hajj and Umrah, we are doing for our own taste and enjoyment. Yes, do two, do three, do four. Forgive me for saying this. But Allah Ta'ala knows the condition of the hearts. So may Allah forgive people. They go on Hajj and Umrah, they come back losing out more. They don't have the respect and the adab for the holy places. So rather they come back losing out. They have stamp on them, they throw this person into Jahannam. He's disrespectful, no adab. He doesn't know how to present himself at the court of the Prawphet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of his rawda. He doesn't know how to have adab. Yes, thousands of times a person, Bayezid Bastami Ramtay, or another sheikh, I think, had this verse, that a thousand times over, your mind, your focus, your face, your body, thousands of times you can wash yourself with the ghulab, even despite that, purifying yourself, cleaning yourself, to say the name of the Prophet, even then you could be disrespecting him if you are not pure. Who is saying this? That sheikh on that maqam who would have seen the result of that. He said, thousands of times you can wash yourself, clean yourself, purify yourself. But what name are you about to recite? The name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is disrespect if you're not saying in the right way. Subhanallah. He said that we can't clean your mouth. You can't cleave your mouth. It's something else that will clean your mouth that will enable you to say his blessed name. Yes, so your body, your sujood, your prostration, your dhikr, from these actions you can't practice and enable yourself and prepare yourself to do the praise of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you can say that you are beloved of Allah or you want His raza and pleasure. This is not the way. So we are cowardly people. We have hidden that path to Allah's nearness. We are looking for the shortcuts, the easy way. Yes, so I'll do 1,000 tasbih, or oh, Jibreel Islam will come, or this will happen, I want to see a vision or a miracle. None of this will happen. You will just see empty dreams. Empty dreams. So for this, there's a separate path, a different path. And it doesn't take long. Within a second, you can get Allah's nearness and the walayat of Allah. Within a second. Innaka ala, Allah says, khuluqin adheem. Innaka ala khuluqin adheem. Allah announced in the Quran that my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't send him to teach you ibadah, salah, sajda. I sent him for this reason, that you can attain my marifah nearness via his company. For this reason I sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach the people so they can come close to me and I can come close to them. Yes, the friend is he who's close to you. One is a friend who just shakes your hand with the tip of his fingers. Then there's another friend who comes closer to you. Then there's another friend who totally embraces you and gets close to you. That's a close friend who embraces you. So Allah said, I send my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the world, to the people, so that he can teach them how to get close to Allah. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach the people how they can get close to me. How? That's the action that I sent to him. That the most capable and great, complete akhlaq I gave to the Prophet. Some akhlaq, the great manners. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is what the Prophet ﷺ came to teach us. That he came with such an ibadah, such a worship, that through his practice you can become close to Allah and a wali Allah and a friend of Allah. What's that message? What's that learning that he brought to us? What ibadah is that? The high level akhlaq, conduct and manners. That's what he brought to mankind. Yes, if you want to learn this from the Prophet ﷺ, high level conduct, manners, character. Yes, I will call him Mujaddad of Fiqh. Rather, he is the Mujaddad of Tasawwuf. He is given this title, Hakim al-Ummat. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat. He said that it's fard ain, compulsory on every human being. It's compulsory on every human being to learn the subject of akhlaq, conduct and manners and good character. It's fard on every single one of us sitting here. We think fard is just salah. We've forgotten the real fard ain. When you ask about the fard in the hereafter, will you present your salah? There's no salah. The fard that I'm explain. Where will we present that? The fard of the good conduct and character. So my brothers, the human being, when he becomes a wali Allah, how does he become a friend of Allah? Due to his conduct, his manners and his character. You have to do islah to improve your character, your manners. Yes, I will present to you a statement of my Sheikh Hazrat Sahib. He, when he was training me, he said, remember that you have come here to become a wali Allah, friend of Allah. Very good. Welcome. Welcome to you. Welcome to you. You've come here to learn this. But shall I tell you when you'll become a wali? When your conduct and your manners, when you get rid of your dirty, impure manners, and you bring about the conduct and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's when you'll become a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. So this is the real teacher and peer and sheikh who teaches his students this. He didn't tell me prayer, recitation. He told me the wazifa that Allah has prescribed in the Quran, the way to his love through good conduct and manners. That's what we need to do. This is in his tahrir. He said to me, the first letter my sheikh wrote to me, the first letter in my life, the sheikh, my sheikh, when he wrote a letter to me, and he did his my islah through maktubat, through his letters. They said, if you want to be near to Allah waliya, then there's only one path to attain that. There's no other way, he said. What's that? That your akhlaqi razila, your dirty manners, you need to get rid of that and bring akhlaqi hamida. When inside you akhlaqi hamida comes, good conduct, manners, then such tawakkal and reliance and trust in Allah will be generated. That all the world may end, but you'll have yaqeen that Allah has ordered this. This is the truth. This is the truth. Yeah, Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullah alayh, you will have heard her name, isn't it? Hazrat Rabia Basri. How did she become a waliya? A friend of Allah. Yes, you know when we say Allah's wali, friend of Allah, he does a lot of sajda, salah, ibadah, dhikr, worship. No, that is just them doing that because they're grateful to Allah for what they've got. When a person becomes a wali Allah, he becomes so humble and sincere that he feels every second that in front of my Lord I want to bow and prostrate to be grateful to my Lord. For he's given me his friendship. What did Rasulullah say? As Aisha Sadiqa said, why do you need to, O Prophet of Allah, your feet are swollen, your legs are swollen, you are struggling, why do you need to prostrate so much? And he replied, O Aisha, shouldn't I be a grateful servant of Allah? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in reality, the walis of Allah, when they worship Allah, they do a lot of hajj and umrah. They don't do this to show people. After becoming friends of Allah, they're grateful to Allah. That's why they worship Allah, to be grateful. Their heart feels like every second I want to be in front of the Kaaba. We think, oh, he's just going there to show other people. Do you understand my point? That's the point to understand. Subhanallah. So what a great jamaat in Bolton. They listen to my words and they recognize. Yes, and there's a person who's come from outside. He sat here today. From yesterday, I was remembering him. And he's come here, mashallah, the darwish. He's from another town. Yeah, he pulled in. From yesterday, I remembered him. I haven't seen his face during this Ramadan. He's brought chotu as well with him, mashallah. Very nice son. That's why I say, beautiful son. And he also listens as well. So it's happiness when the students, when he sees the from far away, when the student comes to listen to the teacher. The more a person sacrifices, the more that person will attain. The more he will attain. You can't get Allah Ta'ala when you're sitting in your bed. Yes, yes, the Ibn Adam, why would he have left his kingdom if he was going to get Allah's nearness in the bed? He said, I understand, I won't get Allah in the luxury of my mattress, I'll get Allah, his nearness. He left his kingdom, sultanate, his millions, his money. He left Allah and he went to the jungle. He said, leave this dunya and go out into the wilderness. He shunned all of the dunya. He rejected it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is akhlaq, good conduct, good manners, good character. And it takes time to get to this point. So then the direction of his ibadah changed. So now what's his ibadah? His ibadah becomes the worship of being grateful. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Oh, very few people are in the world who are grateful to Allah. Only those people are grateful to Allah who are the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. Yes, they will never leave nafal, extra worship. They will never leave the sunnah, discard the sunnah. They will never leave the masjid and run away. The Mawlana Sahib, he leaves the masjid, runs after himself. Oh, the Prophet said that pray the sunnah and waffle in the house. He's not going to go home and pray though. He doesn't want to go home and pray. Otherwise he would have prayed in the masjid. Yes, what does the wali say? That I'll pray the rest here. I don't know what. The trust is that when I go home, I might die on the way. Then my sunnah, my nafal thawab, and I want to be grateful to Allah, that I'll leave. Oh, let me prostrate here. Otherwise if I go home, there's no guarantee. So there's a difference here, isn't it? There's a difference. So am I teaching you, explaining correctly? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the path. Allah says, akhlaq, good conduct, manners, character, and you are compromising with the good conduct, good manners. So when you do ibadah and worship, there's a purpose for doing that. Oh, you keep on reading nafil, I can't pray nafil. Oh, you keep on doing, the sheikh does this, I can't do this much of the sheikh's doing. He's not giving me ijazah that I can do this much. Who said you can do this much? Yet they've got a pain in their heart that pinches them. Oh, I can't do nafil, I can't do extra ibadahs. Do you understand when you should read that you're not going to get your rub from this extra worship? That if you don't have that design inside you, Allah has ordered us, وَذْكُرُوا كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And your sheikh has told you to keep doing dhikr if you want to attain success. Keep remembering Allah. So do you understand all the points? That when you should do dhikr, when you should pray nafal, when you should implement the faraid, the compulsory actions. Keep listening to the bayans after repeatedly, then you'll understand the message. I don't speak for fighting and quarreling. I try to make us better human beings through what we discuss. And completely, I say this with yakin, 100%, listen to what I'm saying, that no, have I studied or revised, was I thinking this before I came, nor did I prepare, revise or read a kitab, recited durood, dua, dala, allow me to speak good words for my friends when I come to the majlis. Subhanallah. With a true niyat, what great pearls and ilm Allah Ta'ala instills into me so I can speak. I'm amazed and shocked that Allah reminds me, where does this all come from? That I didn't even have this knowledge before. Allah Ta'ala, I'm also with you and learning alongside with you in parallel. We're all in the same boat. I swear by Allah, these words I didn't know. The praise Salah, and we'll get nearness to Allah. Today we realize that our Salah wasn't even given for this purpose. I swear by Allah, and I tell you this. So this is akhlaq and conduct and manners, that through that you will attain Allah's nearness. Akhlaq. So let's go back to the hadith now. The Asji, the hadith that we, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a hadith we discussed a couple of days ago, isn't it? So this hadith, there was a tribe coming to see the Prophet. There was two groups. One was a group who were running wildly to meet the Prophet, and there was another group who were carefully, calmly, cautiously thinking with adab and manners they were going to meet the Prophet. So Allah made two groups at that time. That this person, he is a disrespectful person. And the second person, he is my mahbub, yuhibbun Allah. And as a witness, Allah Ta'ala made the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a witness that such a good person, he was the person who was going to meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This hadith that Ashaj Abdul Qais, that he was the example made, that everyone who imitates his practice, then you will also get this good news that you've got these two good qualities. So two qualities were mentioned in the hadith, that two qualities, and they're both related to good akhlaq. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand? That this hadith is teaching us akhlaq, that you remove the impurities and the bad manners, bad conduct, and you replace that with good conduct, good manners. So what were the two qualities that he showed? It was hilm wal ana. He showed these two. So hilm is called clemency, forbearance. And with ease, calmly, cautiously, I said that word yesterday, it's come out of my mind, what was I saying? That when a person carefully, cautiously, with forbearance, he does an action. Yes? He doesn't not quickly, not panic, not anxious. He carefully, cautious. This is how we should do all actions in our life. That when you make decisions in life, whatever decision you make, then never panic and be in a rush. Allah's Nabi said that action will always be a fail. Get this house quickly, yeah, I like it, get it. Oh, get married there, quickly get married there, yes. Oh, do this action, do this, this will be successful. Oh, get this shop, I need to run this shop. Oh, pick this up, quickly do this action, Allah khair karega, Allah will do good. Yes, that maybe you see a temporary benefit. Think, consider, look at the result, analyze, do dua to Allah, do istikhara. And after some time is taken when you do the action, then that will be the action of Hazrat Ashaj. The Sahabi, it will have the same consequence. So this is the two qualities that Allah's Nabism, Allah and His Nabism like these two habits of His. Why was it given, istikhara being given to us as guidance? For this one, always you'll get a wrong result when a person does an action out of panic and rush. No, yeah, I'll do this, we'll see afterwards. Oh no, it's okay, do this. Oh, did you like it? Oh, just get that, whatever you like. No problem. No, everything that's sparkling and glowing isn't good. Why? Because there's nafs and desires attached to them. The child, if you put the fire or light in front of a child and you put another thing, then the child will run towards the light, the fire, because that's the nature, fitrat of the human being. Because the fire or the light is sparkling, glowing. Oh, let's do this now, this benefit here. Oh, I'll get profit here. But the result of that, Allah's Nabi said, this hadith I'm sharing with you. That never do an action in rush or anxious or panic. This will be lower than akhlaq. Allah has given guidance. Always be careful, thinking, cautious. Consider if you have a shaykh, do his mashwara with his istikhara, with his duas. Very cautiously, every step of life, take it. Considerately. Otherwise, the results will start to come in front of you. Not today, not tomorrow, after 10 years, 15 years, after 20 years. Then you will think, oh, yaar, I made a wrong action. I made a mistake. This shop, I shouldn't have bought this. This step, I shouldn't have taken it. Say subhanAllah. So with this action, Allah says that He's my beloved. So today's Muslim, even today, a friend of Allah, do this ibadah. Do this worship, and that this he should develop this quality within him. These qualities. He should be taking the middle path, the balanced path. Be careful, consider whatever action you want to do. Don't run after everything that looks shining and glowing. This is greed, extreme greed, and worldly inclination. And in this, the human being, that today those people who are wretched, lost out, when the result, nothing comes out right for that person. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. He will never come out the right result. No, I've seen it. Oh, I want to do this. I feel like doing this. Let me do this. Taki does it. And after that, you see after 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, the result starts to come out. The fails. Any action of the dunya, whether it's worldly, society, Any action, marriage, getting married, you looking for a girl. Even here, people get stuck in this as well. Oh no, do this, she's very beautiful, nice house, nice family. Everything that's shining, glowing isn't good, my friends. Ask from Allah and turn to Allah and ask for His guidance. So always be cautious and balanced and careful. The person who does that, then he's the person who's got those good qualities. Yes? You understand what I'm saying? And the second thing is hilm. Al-hilm wal-ana. So you got the clemency, the forbearance, and everything has something in opposite. Remember that. That just like I said to you, that for something, everything, for example, being careful and considerate, then opposite to that is a rush, doing everything in a rush, in a panic. So for example, a person that, for example, if you come out of panic and a rush, then it will come towards the good akhlaq, good character. So tazkiyah teaches this. Purification teaches this. For every disease and sickness, you need to replace it with a good quality. Take out the greed and bring contentment and satisfaction. You understand what I'm saying? Take out the hasad, envy, and replace it with the love and the muhabbat. You understand the points I'm making? Yes. So all the sicknesses and diseases, replace that with a good trait, a good characteristic. So you replace a bad with a good. So what is hilm? And what does that come in opposition to what? Nobody knows. Hilm. What is that? Hilm. What do we call this? Because we have never tried to do this. Oh, I've prayed Salah. Yeah, I've prayed Salah. Oh, I've got Jannah. Yes, I've got Paradise. What have you prayed? What have you done? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so very wrong deen we are going down that path. A wrong deen is being taught to us. There's been made a course for us, like a course, you know, a subject in the institute when you go. Like Dars-e-Nizami. Just like a syllabus, pray Salah, read Quran, do this, X, Y, Z, and you go to Jannah, Paradise. Go deep, the good news that's coming, where do you get them, how do you get them, when do you get them? Look at the sequence. Look at the detail. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand the points I'm saying? So one thing, replace it with a good thing. Take one negative thing out and replace it with a good thing. Look at this. This is the quote. And the second thing, hilm Allah's given. So in opposition to hilm, what do we need to take out if we want to get the hilm? If we want to get clemency and tolerance, what do we need to take out? So in opposition to that, there's such a dirty, impure thing that has destroyed the whole dunya. The whole dunya is destroyed in opposition to that. In the homes, in the families, there's destruction in the dunya, there's destruction. What is that? Anger. Anger. Anger is there. Idr, here. This is where it's not even far, it's on the tip of the nose. Anger. When we said the divorce, oh, I gave divorce in anger. Imagine that. Oh, I didn't give divorce, it was just anger. That person does give divorce in anger. What other state is in? He's not going to give in that state of love. He's going to give a present and fragrance and his clothes. Oh, I feel like I want to give divorce to you. Have you ever had someone give divorce like that before? Yes? Oh, you look very nice today, my wife. Very nice food you cooked. And Shami kebab was very nice, the spices. Oh, when this happens today, I'll give you the second divorce. Subhanallah. Have you ever heard of someone doing that? Have you? Yes. And what does he say, the person after that? Oh, did you have anger at that time? Oh, were you not conscious that time? Oh, and he gives the fatwa. You got the money in the purse. Oh, I was not conscious. I was angry. Oh, okay, you can give sadaqah. Your divorce is not valid. Oh, servant of Allah. Without anger, does anyone give a divorce? Why are you giving him the wrong fatwa? So what's this the punishment for? Divorce? Why is Allah giving this punishment? Because in reality, this punishment for the husband and the wife, for that man, was the punishment because he was angry and Allah's taken his wife back. That's why anger is such a bad thing. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates in hadith that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one sip, Allah Ta'ala says, one sip, there's no more beautiful and tasty and delicious taste than this that you have drunk in your life. If Allah is saying this, imagine the taste of the milkshake you drink, strawberry milkshake and other shakes and smoothies. I don't drink these things, but you drink them, hot and cold things. You drink these things, don't you? Why, quick shake, this shake, milkshake, fruit shake, this shake, announce it, this juice and pomegranate juice, smoothies. Allah says you will have never seen or tasted the sip of this enjoyment. Oh, Prophet, what is that? That the sip of anger. Ooh, Allah says, look how he said this hadith I'm sharing with you. The taste that people drink. That this is the most nice and tasty sip of anger and he drinks it. But if you don't drink it and you expel it out for the sake of Allah, Allah says that for the sake of Allah, drink it, then see the enjoyment of it. What's the enjoyment? You will get such enjoyment that every in your iman, such strength Allah Ta'ala will put, and such a great taste when you expel that anger, that you will have never attained a taste so sweet than that. Subhanallah. That when you reject that anger and you attain that taste of it, Allah Ta'ala says, then where does it become apparent? In your salah there's enjoyment, in your prostration there's enjoyment, in your dhikr there's enjoyment, in your Quran there's enjoyment, in your dua there's enjoyment. This enjoyment, this is the enjoyment of iman, of belief. Subhanallah. So those people say, I don't get enjoyment. The reason for that is this, that the iman is without enjoyment. Do you understand what I'm saying? The iman is without enjoyment. Oh, inshallah, you will remember me, my son. Yes. What words I've told you. So this is, do you understand now, tasawwuf? What is the subject of tasawwuf? This is where you get your rub. Angry, you're getting angry. There are two types of anger. Hilm. One is the anger at the time and one is the anger without the opportunity. There's another quality Allah has given as well. That this anger, Allah Ta'ala is also utilizing anger. That anger that comes by chance suddenly, to control that is fard ain, just like to pray salah is fard, compulsory. If you don't control and you get angry, then that's haram. Just like the swine and the pig is haram to eat. Tell me, ask a person who's angry, that how many swine and pig do you eat when you're angry? Oh, it's not a joke. This is called the anger that comes suddenly. Suddenly. What is this? This fard ain, to not do it, to reject it. It's haram to be angry like that. One is anger that doesn't come suddenly. That, for example, when you should be angry. Yes, one is anger when you should be. The one is related to the deen, Islam. And when you see something and then your iman is on that level, that then you become angry. For example, somebody says bad to the Holy Prophet, some disrespect. In other words, your iman is that level that you cannot bear that. You cannot bear that. Then they stated that there is permissibility. You can do it, but you can express your anger. But even then you should control it. You should control it. So this education was given to every sahabi of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's when they became the companions, and those companions gave that deen to the tabi'in. Then they gave that to the tabi'in. Then the tabi'in taught that ilm to the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. And this is nisbat connection, due to which a person becomes a wali Allah. As Ali karamallahu wajh, subhanallah, one companion's example I'll give to you, and so somebody passed by him and said rubbish, nonsense about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him. Obviously his iman was strong. Yes, he was immersed in the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He heard that, and the second time he didn't hear, and he grabbed him. He was Ali radiallahu anhu. And he called him and he gave him a slap, and he was a wrestler and he fell down and he jumped on top of him. And this was the opportunity. You could say anger to express it was jais, it was permissible. And then that person who's disrespectful, look at the teaching of the sheikh, the teacher. Yes, the akhlaq is being taught, the sahaba, the companions, the akhlaq. Those people who used to bury their daughters alive, I'm talking about those sahaba, the sahaba rasul, that nobody can equate to them until the end of time. So Allah Ta'ala praises them in the Quran. And how Allah praises them? Rahma bainahum. The companions were haleem, extremely tender and soft-hearted. They never became angry. They never were angry. And Ali, subhanAllah, they were very firm and strict. Allah made it permissible that if there's anything wrong being done with Islam, then the Sahaba could never bear that. Never. There. But we are upside down. We say, Maslahatul Muslimah, what's the hikmah? Hikmah, wisdom, we can give up Islam, it's hikmah, wisdom. And where is the personal affair? Oh, it's okay, get them out, beat them, fight them, he gave me loss. And they say, why? You become wali Allah, pray too many salahs. Do you understand how to become a wali Allah now? Oh, in every generation, when a person becomes a shaheed, crushes his desires, then you become a wali Allah. So Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, he saw that disrespectful person who disrespected the Prophet and he was about to beat him, and he took his dagger out. And when he took the dagger out and he was about to beat him, and that time what did he do? That he spat on the face of Hazrat Ali. Soon as he spat, then Hazrat Ali should become more angry, or should he be less angry at that time? You'd get more angry, or would you be less? And you should take the second dagger out, or sword. Oh, he's dishonored me now. What did he do? As Ali, he had the education of the Prophet. As soon as he spat on him, then he became very soft and tender. He put his dagger down and he got off him. And he didn't stand up. He said, "Who? Ali, you are about to beat me. Have you gone to get another weapon, or what do you do?" And everyone's looking at this drama as well. The Hazrat Ali, how does he finish him off? And he's just lying there like he has died. He thought, maybe he's going to get another weapon. He said, "You can get up now." He got up. He said, "What have you done here? You didn't express your anger. You should have hit me more." He said, "No, this is not what I've been educated. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, the fight until that time, when it's for the sake of Allah, when it's for your personal revenge, then leave that person." Subhanallah. Leave that person. So I was angry for the sake of Allah, that I wasn't going to leave you. But when you spat on me, then my anger changed to my personal revenge, that you spat on me, so I left you, I spared you, you are saved. So you tell me, did he not become Muslim? He said, "Nare takbir." And he said Allah's name. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe he give us this akhlaq, this conduct and manners. Maybe learn to take that sip of good akhlaq and reject the sip of anger, and you'll become shaheed. Martyr. Otherwise anger will take you to the wretched conclusion, and you know best what divorces, fighting, quarrels, disputes, every action. Remember, two things were taught today, that you should be cautious, careful, clemency, and tolerance. Otherwise you'll have the wrong conclusion, the wrong result. If you do an action out of panic, and if you do actions for the sake of the glow and the luxury and wealth and comfort of dunya, get it, then the conclusion will be negative. That anger, never bring anger to the tip of your nose. Doesn't matter what is happening at the time. Haram, it is haram. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Okay. I think, what time does it? Iftari today is iftari. Let's do dua. أنا تعرفني يا صنف بدعت من زمان، أنا تقبل من عندك، نعم تبي يا، جل عشان، شامك إن شاء الله، بس ثورة زادا ذكر كرلين.